This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's the fault of congressional Democrats.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's just not true.
Federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants. Period. Full stop. That's the law. And Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He says Democrats are holding out for health care subsidies that will go to millions of U.S. citizens. Walmart today says it plans to remove synthetic food dyes from its store brands by January 2027. 69 people killed in a strong earthquake in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The City of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its City Administrator Working Group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of City Administrator to the City of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on September 30th, October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a City Administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the Mayor's Office. Gas prices are trending down in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The average price for a gallon of gasoline in Wisconsin is down over 6 cents from last week to $2.82 a gallon. Nationally, prices have fallen 5.8 cents to $3.08 a gallon. Who is a petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy, says seasonal factors such as switching to winter blends and falling demand are the primary causes for the decrease.
The race for Wisconsin's governor continues to take shape as one new candidate is announced and another drops out. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
She now joins a crowded field running for governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickle.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better, but there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosha.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One more hour from the Lake Wissota studio before we start a little road trip for the next few days. Looking forward to joining you as I do a little bit of traveling here. But from up here in Chippewa Falls, it's nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday morning, first day of October. First day for some big news up here in the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany, the incumbent Republican congressman, has decided to run for governor. That has opened up this congressional district. It's an open race right now, and people are beginning to position themselves for a run on the Democratic and Republican sides. And we will be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up, starting less than a half hour from now, 8:35. So you're going to want to come on back and hear what we have to say about big news up north. We've got Earl Ingram standing by as well to tell us about the What's Going On podcast that he can get you at civicmedia.us. First, note that we'd love to have you sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. In today's edition, there's a link to my story about the new backdoor abortion ban that is in place. Planned Parenthood has stopped providing abortion services, at least temporarily, in Wisconsin. Because it turns out that in Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle, there's also a provision in there that halts all Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood, even for their non-abortion health services. And that's going to take away a lot of funding for things like, basic physicals and blood tests and STD screening and early detection of cancer and all the many, many things that Planned Parenthood does. So it's being challenged in court, but until then, essentially you have a backdoor abortion ban in place in the United States, at least here in Wisconsin, from Planned Parenthood. And details you can find over in our newsletter, again, upnorthnewswi.com. And in our Sunday morning newsletter, our question of the week is about the government shutdown, which started overnight at midnight. And how does this thing end? Do Democrats cave in and just accept all of these massive cuts that Republicans want? Or do they use their leverage and win the restoration of some of those cuts, either with the president caving in or with Republicans and Democrats coming up with something together and even overriding a Donald Trump veto? So where's this thing going? What's your best guess? That's our question of the week. And you get the first look at it by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At 8:09, let's welcome in Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. You can get that over at civicmedia.us, and we'll talk more about what's on the show, but certainly some of the other matters that are happening, not the least of which are some of the cuts that come from Trump's big bloated boondoggle. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine as well. But, you know, we explained in the last hour, again, we just talked about cuts to Planned Parenthood. We've talked about cuts to training special education teachers. We've talked about cuts to deaf-blind students. Again, all in the name of attacking DEI, because apparently helping special education kids and helping kids who are deaf and blind is somehow special treatment. And you've got experience with some of these things that are going to be cut as well.
Well, thanks again, Pat, for the opportunity. But my wife and I are treatment foster parents. We took in a disabled child 22 years ago who was born with half a brain, who requires 24-hour care. That young boy that we took in is now a 24-year-old man who still requires 24-hour care. He will his entire life. He doesn't have the capacity to live on his own. And so through Medicaid and some programs inside of that, it helps us in trying to offer this young man the best quality of life that he can possibly get. He could be institutionalized, which is one of the reasons why they created programs to give these special people an opportunity at the best possible lives they could have. And right now, under the big, beautiful bill, there are major cuts that are looming to many of these programs. And I just don't think people are really aware of the impacts of the big, beautiful bill and what is coming down the pike. And so if you are fortunate enough that you don't have to be involved with Medicaid and those kinds of things, then count yourself as being fortunate and lucky. But there are many people who that's the only lifeline that they have. And our nation ought to be ashamed of itself if we allow these kinds of things to happen to people who are already up against it because of through no fault of their own being born in the manner that they have been.
Well, and that's the thing here is we're not talking about preference based on somebody's condition. We're talking about dignity based on somebody's condition and making sure that, they have either the opportunity to live, the opportunity to be healthy, the opportunity to be educated. There's nobody that's giving them some kind of an extra advantage. These are the things that we would like to do if it was happening right in front of us, right on the street corner. But thankfully, these folks don't have to live on a street corner when we have programs like these that can take care of them. And so it defies any easy explanation. It's either a lack of caring and compassion for folks who have disabilities, and or it is such an immense sense of greed that you will literally, take money, take food off people's tables to pay for tax cuts for the very well off and hope that those benevolent billionaires will somehow take care of you. I don't know if I feel like it's one or the other. It feels like a little bit of both, Earl.
Well, when it's been characterized as a handout, and so when people hear a handout right away without knowing anything about it, they've been led to believe that they're just takers, and so they've put this group of people, disabled people, in the category of takers, and it's dreadful to think about where we're going with this. There's nowhere else to turn. So what do? We cast these people out, and those of us who have dedicated our lives to taking on a tremendous responsibility to try to give people, as you stated so well, dignity in their lives. So those of us who are doing this work, we're going to be left to kind of handle this on our own. I think it's just nonsensical.
That's putting it mildly. We're talking to Earl Ingram. You can learn more about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast at civicmedia.us/shows. I want to say one more thing about this whole notion of handouts. And we may have touched on this previously, but I think it bears repeating, because I always use the example of Ronald Reagan's so-called welfare queens and talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're hearing that again this week, all the waste, fraud, and abuse that's out there. Waste, fraud, and abuse are already illegal or against the rules. There are already ways to sniff it out, to deny benefits, to prosecute people. So if you really believed that something like that was going on, you'd go after those folks. And I admit, it only takes one person, one example of somebody abusing the system for other people to get cynical and think, oh, everybody must be living high off the hog that way. There's always going to be people that try to game the system. But this is just the worst case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater because you don't like how a couple of people benefit from this program.
Well, if you want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse on the grandest level, look at our military budget. And there's no comparison with the dollars that are being abused and wasted on that level than there are with people who are in these other programs. The other thing I wanted to talk about quickly in one of the latest podcasts is the street takeovers that are taking place across this nation. And what they are, for people who aren't aware, is they at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, a group of young people think it makes sense to organize and pull into some of the busiest intersections of our city and basically just have a party at 3 o'clock in the morning with cars, powerful cars, doing donuts, fireworks, drinking, smoking weed, and doing all sorts of illegal things. 300-400 people gathered. They do this thing via the internet, and it's more than what cities can handle. And so we had a discussion about that on the latest podcast about what is it about the generation that thinks this makes sense. And so I had a discussion with my producer, who is from the generation of young people who are doing these kind of things, to try to get an understanding of what their mindset really is.
Well, I hope that he was able to shed some light on it, because look, we all go through that age range and we all do things that we look back on and think they were a combination of rebellious and stupid. But it takes it to a different level when you're endangering people by doing what you do on city streets and in intersections, especially with law enforcement that is already running on tight budgets and everything. So again, I don't pretend to know what the alternatives are on this, but I don't know that it's something you just hope everybody gets tired of it and moves on to something else. It's a bigger problem than that, it seems.
Well, when he kind of told me about influencers, and at the root of all of it is influencers. And so this is the insanity of it. People do this to get people to follow them. And they become famous people for being influencers, for whatever that means. But it certainly doesn't make any sense.
No, but it goes back to, from the earliest days of television, everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody wants to be on a screen, and they're willing to go along with pretty much anything. And I tell you, one of the words in the social media era I wish had never come along was challenge, because we always hear about the blank challenge. And next thing you know, somebody's either ingested too much of something and died, or they've engaged in some kind of an extreme selfie and they've died, or whatever influencers are doing to attract crowds now that can lead to, again, disruptions of lives and much worse. So I'm looking forward to the discussion that you're having. It's part of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get the details over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and you'll learn more about it. Earl, I appreciate you bringing some insight to this very much, and to the budget cuts as well, and look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for the visit.
Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Earl, very much. Again, the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, you can find it at civicmedia.us/shows. A local news update is coming up next for some of you. Others will catch my conversation with Melissa Baldoff for our weekly climate check, and talking about the Trump administration making a big investment this week in green energy. No, and going back to hole. Yeah, for real. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media has a new daily newsletter chock full of links to show highlights and news headlines and more. It's on Substack, you know, where all the cool kids are gathering now. So head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com and get subscribed there. I think at Substack, you can also get to Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation area. You can search my name on there, too, and see that, yeah, I've got a Substack. I haven't done anything with it in over a year. I've got this job that gets in the way, but rest assured, one of these days, I'll join all the rest of the cool kids in posting regularly on Substack, including Civic Media with Civic Media Today. Let us jump into this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff. It's one that, again, when I saw the headline the other day, I knew right away, send this one to Melissa. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. You know, in our government shutdown world we live in.
Yes. Well, yeah, before we get to my story, you've got the story of with a shutdown. I mean, the only people that are working who are federal government employees are basically, you know, essential workers. You've got the military, you've got the TSA and others. They're not getting paid, but they still have to work where everybody else has to either go home without pay or might even get laid off permanently. And there is a climate/energy connection to the shutdown as well.
Yes, I'm sure that folks are going to be absolutely shocked to learn that while the Interior Department is cutting its workforce because of the shutdown, two-thirds of the staff from the National Park Service and the Secretary's Office, the Bureau of Land Management, however, has determined that workers who are processing drilling permits for oil and natural gas and coal mining operations. Those folks are essential, so they're still going to work to, you know, really bolster our commitment to fossil fuels.
Sure. It just feeds right into the story out of the White House this week. Forget drill, baby, drill. It's mine, baby, mine, as Trump officials offer a plan, a $625 million plan to boost coal production, including opening 13 million acres of federal land for mining and eliminating pollution limits. And already in this age of Trump, several utilities have already agreed that at least 50 coal-burning units are going to continue operating past their scheduled closure date. So like it or not, Melissa, when people voted for Donald Trump, they voted for a return to the age of coal. Congratulations, America. You did it.
You know, that's absolutely right. You know, it's just really disappointing to see, you know, this, you know, investment, this bailout really to, you know, an industry that other countries around the world have recognized is doing a lot of harm. And instead of, you know, kind of letting the science and the market dictate where we're going with our energy production, with our economy, and everything points to clean energy, renewable energy being not only the best for the environment, for our health, but the best for the economy. You know, we know that wind and solar are incredibly inexpensive, efficient, and reliable sources of energy. You've got, you know, the Trump administration doubling down to, you know, offer up a, you know, a bailout essentially for wealthy oil and gas companies, right? So this, you know, dirty fossil fuel industry. And we know that, you know, this is going to be, this is something he promised them, right? This is what he promised these donors to him, these energy executives, that he was going to do everything he could for them. And, you know, here he is. He is making this investment in the coal industry while we ignore investment and opportunity in renewable energy.
And by the way,
we'll have that impact of, you know, these coal plants, including one, you know, not too far away from me in Oak Creek, mm-hmm. that earlier in the summer had announced that they would delay the retirement by a year. And, you know, it just makes you wonder, with these signals from the federal government, from the president, will utility companies say, hey, you know what, maybe we'll push it out even further, because they know that they can make money that way.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got the pro polluters in power, they're going to do what they do best. But meanwhile, like you said, other people made the decision to go in a cleaner direction. And folks who catch our daily history lesson will remember that yesterday marked the 1 year anniversary of the United Kingdom going coal free. The whole United Kingdom closed up its last coal-fired power station 1 year ago yesterday and has operated without coal for a year without any issues or problems whatsoever. And it's a place where we can get to in this country if we want to. But instead, you've got you know, a president who keeps describing this black combustible rock as, quote, clean, beautiful coal. Either calls it clean coal or clean, beautiful coal. And that's garbage. But that is, again, the man knows his marketing. And he's trying to convince people that coal is somehow clean and beautiful, which is why we do segments like this, Melissa, to give people, I don't know, a little reality.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the public service we're providing here. Making sure that folks know just how terribly this administration is botching this, and what, you know, what a real embarrassment we are on the world stage when mm-hmm. we should be thinking, you know, how can we catch up to the UK as quickly as we can in this, and right. not, oh, we're going to go completely the other way.
And instead, we've got we're going to up the mining, which is linked to air pollution, water contamination. Black lung disease in coal miners is going to make a comeback. Oh, yippee. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for the update. Wish it was happier, but we got to get the news out there. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Some big news out of the 7th Congressional District up north. We'll tell you all about it in about 5 minutes here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The race for Wisconsin's governor continues to take shape as one new candidate is announced and another drops out. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
The field of Democrats running just keeps growing, and now we can add Hughes to the list, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royce, State Representative Francesca Hong, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Meanwhile, the roster of Republicans running changed last week. Congressman Tom Tiffany joined the race on Tuesday, and Friday afternoon, businessman Bill Berrien dropped out. He was found to be following sexually explicit accounts online, and at least one of them was a trans performer. Although during his campaign, Berrien was critical of the trans community and ran ads saying he would, quote, keep boys out of our daughter's sports and locker rooms, end quote. That leaves Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Showman running as Republicans. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The decision by Congressman Tom Tiffany to run for governor means there will now be an open race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which takes up a good chunk of the northern third of Wisconsin. It was represented by Dave Obey for 40-some years, Sean Duffy after that, and Tom Tiffany currently. But with him running for governor, it opens it up with Republicans and Democrats talking amongst themselves about who should be running and who could serve as the next member of Congress from up north. One of the people who's been doing a lot of talking about that, a lot of traveling, connecting with people, is actually a former legislator from the Baraboo area, but who relocated to northern Wisconsin a number of years ago. And I mean, if you want to know about the North Woods, you got to talk to a guy that really knows woods, and nobody knows the woods like Fred Clark. He is a senior forester. He has served as a senior forester with the Department of Natural Resources, as an ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. He's been a consulting forester. He has served on the Wisconsin Council on Forestry, the Wisconsin Council on Tourism, briefly on the State Natural Resources Board. He knows a thing or two about how to make sure that the North Woods is good for business, is good for tourism, and is good to our resources. And maybe it's time that the North Woods is good for representation in Congress as well. So Fred Clark joins us now to tell us more about what's happening in the 7th. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Really good to see you. It's a wonderful morning here in the fall in the North Woods.
It really is. And nobody understands the task ahead like you, and I'm sure that other people have expressed interest in this as well. But where did you ultimately come down on your own decision about what to do in the 7th District?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, I spent a good part of this summer with some friends just traveling the 7th Congressional District. And as most of your listeners know, it's a huge district. This is about a third of Wisconsin, our entire North Woods, parts of 26 counties. And we just wanted to, after talking among ourselves and following all of the drama coming out of Washington, we just decided to get on the road and try to put a pulse on what people were thinking about and talking about. We went to Marshfield and to Wausau and Merrill and Tomahawk and Rhinelander and Hayward and Spooner and Webster and Hudson. Had a lot of conversations with a lot of people to figure out what concerns are sort of rising to the top for the communities around northern Wisconsin, and what people are looking for out of representation. And this is at a time when Congressman Tom Tiffany was basically missing in action. He was not holding public events. Some of these really momentous decisions, like the big billionaire's bill that came out of Washington that he voted for, he simply wasn't willing to stand up and account for himself in public. And we learned a lot from those trips, and it really helped me, after a lot of thought, make a decision that I think the time is right to stand up and make the case for new representation in Congress in northern Wisconsin.
So you're in.
I'm in. The candidacy starts today.
All right. It's you've done some of the prep work already. There's a website up, clark4wi.com. Again, clark4wi.com, where people are going to learn more about you and more about the issues. I gave a bit of an introduction that stressed your forestry roots, but you did serve a number of years in the legislature. And so tell us a bit more about, you know, your time there and the priorities that you brought to Madison that you'd now like to bring to Washington.
Sure. Thanks for asking. You know, for many years, I lived in Baraboo, a town in Sauk County, north of Madison. From there, I ran a forestry consulting and contracting business. In fact, one of my very first jobs, my first year in business, was marking timber up here for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. But in that work, I just became more and more involved in conservation as well as community leadership. And in 2008, I took a long shot and ran for the state assembly seat that includes the communities of Baraboo and Portage and Montello, perfect farm and forest country. I'd never had a political background before, but again, it was an opportunity for me to learn more and provide service to an important community that that really meant a lot to me. I won a Republican-held seat. I did that with a lot of crossover voters from Republicans and Democrats who knew that it was time for a change and that they could trust me to help represent their values and their interests, even if we didn't agree on every issue. And I learned a tremendous amount from that effort. The most important one being, if you're elected as a representative, it's your job to represent everybody. It doesn't matter how they voted. Doesn't matter if they agree with you on everything, but there are lots of issues at home that we all have to work together on if we're going to be successful. And I took that to heart, and I'll take it to heart for Northern Wisconsin.
It sure certainly seems to be a message that would resonate right now in what is now the ninth hour of a shutdown of the federal government brought about by an unwillingness by the majority party to negotiate, even though they need Democratic votes to get anything done. So I'm sure with this shutdown, people would be asking, what would you do differently? What is it? What traits would you bring that might make it less likely that we see government shutdowns?
Yeah, the choice of Democrats right now is a very tough one, but I don't fault them for standing up. When you look at the brutal impact on middle class people across this country from a single policy of removing the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, that's going to affect healthcare for millions of people. This is really their only point of leverage right now. But fundamentally, we've got to relook at how we budget and run the federal government. There is simply no reason that we should be going through this shutdown drama every 4 years when the parties can't agree on the most basic responsibility, which is how to run our governments. So I think we need to relook at the principles and procedures for federal budgeting. And that's the most basic thing we should be expecting from our Congress. We expect that from our state legislature. And for the most part, we get it.
Do the basics of funding then extend to putting a priority on things like health care rather than billionaire tax breaks? I guess what I'm saying is, right now, the Democrats in Congress are saying, look, negotiate with us if you need our votes, because we think you've gone too far in these health care cuts. And if you want our votes, they've got to be, restored or pared back. And Republicans are even refusing to negotiate. I don't think I have to go very hard to find out whether you think Congress should be taking more of its energy on providing for people's health care than providing for tax cuts for the rich.
It's incredible. Health care wasn't perfect a year ago. We still had a long way to go to provide the opportunity for basic health care for everyone, regardless of income. But the big, beautiful bill, as the president liked to call it, has a massive across-the-board impact on both the Medicaid cuts that are going to affect healthcare for the people who need it the most, as well as the Affordable Care Act subsidy removals, which is going to increase healthcare premiums by up to 75% or more for many people that are on the exchanges and the Affordable Care Act. The most massive transfer of wealth to billionaires that's ever occurred in the history of our federal government and our federal budgets. No, it's not acceptable. And no, no one should be voting to support a budget that fails Americans so badly and broadly.
We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is now the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, all across the northern third of Wisconsin here. And
let's get to the district itself and the things that proper representation can do for it. You've got an entire platform based on rebuilding the rural economy around, you know, our lakes and our forests and our towns. And we know that Tom Tiffany, as a congressman and prior to that in the state legislature, had the primary goal of getting mines operating in Wisconsin and expanding development that way. Okay, that's one mindset, is mining and development. Where's yours in terms of making sure that the rural economy across northern Wisconsin can be vibrant during your time in office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. You know, so let's just look at what we have here in the north. The forests, the lakes, the rivers, the farms that make up this kind of piece of our world. You know, this is iconic Wisconsin. When the Department of Tourism wants to sell Wisconsin to out-of-state visitors, the North Woods is one of the major places that they go. If we want to maintain that, which also means maintaining the quality of life and the clean water and the clean air and the outdoor spaces that make this place what it is, we have to invest in that. From an economic development standpoint, we can chase big mines, you know, big holes in the ground. We can chase massive international businesses that we think are going to plop down, you know, big data centers and create jobs. But I think time after time and a lot of effort and experience has shown that you get a better bang for your buck by investing in local communities, local businesses, the sort of small and medium-sized businesses and the small farms and the forestry enterprises that are the bulk of employment and economic activity in northern Wisconsin. That's where we need to be making our investments. And as a policymaker, that's where I would absolutely reinvest and increase our investment to make sure that the businesses that are already here are able to thrive.
What about in terms of the trade war that Donald Trump has imposed on this country and on this economy, ostensibly to rebuild or, you know, help out American manufacturing? To what degree do you feel like that is the right track or wrong track?
Oh, if you talk to farmers today, you know, throughout the Midwest, but including in Wisconsin, the trade war and this sort of ever-changing tariff war that, especially with China right now, is going to be a punch in the gut for farm producers. You know, if you're growing soybeans right now, you may have had a bumper crop this year and nowhere to go with it because China stopped buying American soybeans this year for the first time in a long time. And there simply are not markets for what we're producing today as we get near harvest time. And, you know, farmers have paid their own dollars in these checkoff funds for decades that have gone into marketing programs to help establish these markets. They're being wiped away by a tweet from our president who decides with almost no evidence that we're going to just start these tariff wars. It's hugely disruptive. We're all going to be paying for it.
The problem is that we've had a Congress that has abandoned its duties as a co-equal branch of government to provide some oversight, some guidance and things like that. And so I want to talk to you after the break about, you know, the role that you think Congress should have if Democrats were to take control in the midterms for the second half of President Trump's term. What are the things that could be done if not working with the president, then at least putting forth, you know, a better slate of ideas than what we've seen and the damage that has been done to the economy right now. We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is also now a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District here up north. We'll have more with Fred Clark and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up in just a bit. Again, remember, you can follow my work over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Alba Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for lacrosse and home for the Todd Alba Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can follow Up North News on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter, where we've put the note that Fred Clark is a candidate for Congress now. The former state assembly rep is running in the 7th Congressional District up north, and we've been going over some of the issues that led Fred to decide to make this run for Congress, which will be an open seat now, with Tom Tiffany running for governor. And we left off, Fred, talking about the Constitution, talking about the rule of law, talking about a Congress that, you know, for all of our lifetimes, even when it was of the same party as the president, still curbed any presidential excesses and provided some guardrails. And now we're seeing just a complete abdication of that oversight. How do you envision the role of Congress? First, if you were to win the majority next year in the second half of a Donald Trump term, but frankly, even if there were a Democratic president, talk more about your philosophy of what a member of Congress should actually be doing.
Yeah, well, all of us ought to take some time to read the Constitution. I reread it again this summer, and it doesn't take long to do, but the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, envisioned this sort of three-part government with the judiciary and the Congress and the executive branch being co-equal branches of government. And Congress actually has should have most of the power in that relationship around how we run the federal government. And this year, our Congress has failed in most of that responsibility. You know, one is to budget funds for programs that are passed into law, along with the funding to support them. And the executive branch has a responsibility to fulfill those programs. This administration has failed to do that. And in fact, they've killed off entire programs that were congressionally authorized. That's wrong. Congress should stand up to oppose that. This president's use of tariff power, which is only supposed to be an emergency authority for the executive branch, and in creating this wild tariff war that changes daily depending on what the president may have had for breakfast in the morning. It's insane. It's making it impossible for businesses to invest with any stability of where their investment is going to return. And Congress has not stood up to stop that. I think what we have right now are, especially the Republicans in Congress, are basically running scared. They're afraid to stand up. They won't even oppose this administration on some of the most basic things because they're afraid of being tweeted at or attacked by this president. It's almost like you have to take a loyalty test to be in the Republican Party today. And that there's nothing more un-American than that.
Oh, it's not almost. I mean, we're just flat out right there at this point. Now, there is also the notion of border security and immigration, which are two things that are related, but you know they're not joined at the hip. You need to work differently on one than on another. And for example, in Wisconsin, we have such a reliance on migrant labor, especially on our farms, but also manufacturing and a host of other areas. And so when you've got a president with just a flat out anti-immigrant agenda, how do you address that while at the same time, you know, acknowledging that there is always room to improve security at our borders?
Yeah, it's such a complex issue, and it's so unfortunate that it's been beat into a political hot potato. And we absolutely need security at our border. And we need to be making smarter investments about that because a wall is not an effective form of really stopping illegal immigration. We can do that. And we need an aggressive, active role for federal law enforcement to go after lawbreakers, especially criminals. There's no question that needs to be a priority. But what's happening right now is that this administration and an entire segment of the Make America Great movement are demonizing immigrants across the board. And that is really harming hardworking, honest people who have come to this country to do important jobs that we need done because businesses need to hire them. They're supporting our economy, but importantly, they're also supporting families back home. And to see good, honest, hardworking people who want to be here legally hauled off of the streets and taken away without due process, or in many cases, deported to countries that aren't even their home country. That's morally wrong, and it's not making us safer.
We're talking to Fred Clark here, and just looking at some of the comments that have come in from PJ. The U.S. border is 1,500 miles away from Wisconsin. Let's worry about what's happening here in Wisconsin first. Adam says, I hope to see Fred Clark at the Three Lakes 4th of July parade next year. Tony says, please represent me. Joe on the text line in Superior says, Argentina is getting a $20 billion bailout from the Trump administration and taking our soybean market from American farmers. So literally taking our farmers' lunch money. And so there's more than a little bit of work that's going to be done, Fred, if you're able to capture this seat next year. Again, depending on who all gets in, there may be a primary next August to the general election in November of next year with an open field for Democrats and Republicans alike. But you've made the decision to get in. You've outlined where your positions are on some of the issues. And I don't doubt we'll be having a lot of conversations between now and Election Day, Fred. Thank you very much for joining us to make your announcement here on our program.
You bet, Pat. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being part of the kickoff today. And I'll look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Sounds good. And you can learn more about Fred's campaign at clarkforwi.com. That again is Clark, F-O-R-W-I.com. And of course, he's got the Facebook page and everything else. And we'll continue to monitor this new race in the 7th Congressional District here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, hoping you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday as we get started with the month of October already. Hard to believe. Anyway, I'll be on the road tomorrow. I'll be checking in from new locations as I make the annual tour of daughters coming up. So I'll see you tomorrow morning from up north or somewhere, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers now furloughed and not getting a paycheck. ABC's Rachel Scott covering developments in Washington.
The Department of Labor seeing 76% of its workforce temporarily reduced. At Health and Human Services, 41% of employees will be furloughed, including 64% of workers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Members of the military also hit hard, many forced to work without a paycheck.
The FBI, the CIA, air traffic controllers, and TSA agents are all continuing to work. Part of a New York City high-rise has collapsed, leaving a corner of the building a pile of rubble. No immediate reports of injuries. Firefighters say they were responding to a report of a gas explosion that collapsed the incinerator shaft in the Bronx. Rescuers desperately searching for any survivors after a strong earthquake in the central Philippines that left at least 69 people dead. This is ABC News.